Thanks so much for joining us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. With me in the studio is Evangelist Will Galkin. And Will, we were talking last time about trusting God and so many different situations that we find ourselves. I was reminded of a verse before we got started. It says in Psalm 56 and verse 9, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." I love that. God is for me. Then the next chapter, it says in verse 2, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." So God's for me. He performs all things for me. And with those kinds of truths and principles, when the Lord says, okay, I want you to try something new, I want you to step out on faith, it gets back to, first of all, do we know His Word? Secondly, have we found Him to be true? And do I trust Him with the next big step? So as you guys take a step that is giving you no support, and that's for the entire team.
Right.
So we're talking about how many people total, including the kids?
That'd be 15.
15. Uh-huh. And it's how many weeks in the summer?
It's from May till the end of August, so
mm-hmm.
4 full months and into September, actually.
Okay. So, God's going to have to sell a few cattle on 1,000 hills or something,
right?
Isn't he?
Right.
But that's no problem for God, is it?
That's right.
And it's exciting to see how the Lord leads us step by step. And the folks that are listening to our broadcast are saying, boy, that's the kind of God I need. And my friend, that's the kind of God you have.
Amen. That's great.
That is the kind of God we have. Now, when we consider the ministry that God has given you, we mentioned last time that you have the opportunity to be in all different kinds of churches.
Yes.
Tell us what you have seen in the average local church, and do you see any changes taking place?
Sure. So we think of the American church, it's impacted by American culture. And that's always been the case, where the culture and the Word meet. And there are non-sinful elements of culture that the church just reflects in their some of their clothing or some of their, you know, we're drinking Coke. They weren't doing that, you know, 200
right.
years ago.
Right.
And then there's some elements of the culture that's sinful. And there's some of the elements of the culture that maybe are not explicitly communicated as sinful, but the result is one of distraction away from their ability to focus on Christ. And so our culture has gone through such unbelievable changes in the last 50 years. Sociologists have really chronicled the ages. And at the end of World War II was the beginning of the end of modernity and really the beginning point of postmodernism, which is just really reflected or really evidenced by the plurality, the religious plurality, the inclusivity, the relativism that has so bled into the church that many in the church have really lost their moorings and the absolutes and the confidence that comes from trusting God's word.
Back when I was a kid, and we're talking about 50 years ago, there were so many people that knew biblical truth. They knew a lot about the Bible. And then when I became a young pastor, we could have Bible school and we could have skits and call upon the kids to make decisions based on, you know, what the Bible taught. And they would give the right answers. That's all changed.
Yeah, I think even in that exhortation to the will, like you were talking about, there would be genuine conversions. My mom is testimony of that. Never heard a clear presentation of the gospel till 1971 or two. And somebody knocked on the door of her house, gave her the gospel. She trusted Christ. The reason being is because she had a lot of the content
right.
of the truth claims of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So where I was going with that little history lesson was basically that now in the thick of postmodernism, combined with the information age, you have this deluge of philosophical arguments and content and media sound bites that have so pushed out the general populace's ability to focus on truth. We are in a biblically illiterate era.
Describe to our folks what postmodernism believes about what is truth.
Okay, so postmodernism is a general category given to an era of time. One of the beliefs would be relativism, which would be what's true for you is good and I can have truth. And they could be two mutually exclusive truth claims that would be both accepted as true.
It may be true for you, but not true for me.
Right.
Right.
And while there are some that can be helpful in some arenas, you know, like when you're saying, well, I see how you see that from your perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
There's really no place for it when you have things like Christ who said, thy word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or the psalmist said, the word is a light under
right.
a path.
Right.
And how that Jesus Christ said of himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what that means is there's some exclusivity. If there's truth, yeah. that means that there's false.
So consequently, Christians who believe the Bible to be the truth may be labeled as being very, very narrow and not willing to compromise.
Right, right. Bigoted would be a term.
Mm-hmm.
And so really in this culture, what happens is a Christian just begins to try to live out the Bible in front of neighbors and friends and coworkers. Quickly, they're delivered a couple of blows and it causes some Christians to back away
mm-hmm.
and begin to say, I don't know if it's really worth it to give the gospel. I don't know if it's worth it to take that stand for Christ.
And that is a tremendous change in the last 50 years.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. And we're seeing it. And so I'm meeting people who are second generation folks who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that they had never heard the gospel. Their parents had never heard the gospel.
Right.
Where even just 50, 60, 70 years ago, I would say the vast majority of people had heard some component of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
Now, maybe they didn't want to submit to it. Maybe they didn't want to give up a sinful lifestyle. And even the atheists of 50 years ago were people that chose to disbelieve in the God of the Bible.
But they knew the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Where the atheist of today just says, I don't really believe in a God, but they don't even know the God that they don't even believe in.
And so consequently, the like the Easter story, you know, the average person 50 years ago, they knew what Easter was all about.
Without a doubt.
You know, yeah, you heard about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and all these other type of things. But in the last 50 years, you can talk about the Easter story or the Passion of Christ, Passion Week or whatever. And a lot of people will look at you like, Passion Week?
Right.
What in the world is that?
Without a doubt. And I think Christmas is another one. And,
yes.
An obvious one. And they kind of know there's something with baby Jesus, but who is Jesus?
Right.
So what happens is you start to give the gospel to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So did you know that you're a sinner? They're a sinner. What do you mean sinner? Well, you've broken God's law. Whose law? Well, God's law. Well, why are you so arrogant to tell me that you have a law that tells me what to do? Well, and then the Christian gets a little flustered and says, well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God who? Well, God the Creator. No, I don't think he created anything. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and so within just 10 seconds, the Christian's so tongue-tied and they just kind of walk away defeated.
Right.
And part of that is because I don't know if we took the time to really educate ourselves in a theological and biblical sense in these truths because we were just communicating known or presumed truth.
Correct.
And so when I would say Jesus is the Son of God, and someone would go, yes, he's the Son of God. But today when I say he's the Son of God, some Christians, they end up going, well, you know, he's the Son of God because Jesus is the Son of God because he's God the Son, Jesus, Son of God.
Right.
But they don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
In fact, if you ask that Christian, so tell me, why from the Bible do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They stare at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not sure how to even go about it.
Right.
But I actually think that though the times are dark and though things are getting more difficult, just like when sin abounds, grace is that much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
When darkness abounds, the light of the gospel is all the brighter. And I think a gift of postmodernism to the American church is that it's really causing some Christians to actually study their Bible. It's actually causing some Christians to get serious about systematic theology. Is causing some Christians to actually say, okay, what does God say? Do I believe this to be true? And then how do I work creatively to communicate that
right.
to those that are around me?
Because 50 years ago, there was a whole lot said about soul winning and knocking on doors and winning people to Christ, you know, like your mom, right there on their own doorstep. But today, you'd almost have to go back to say, well, let's talk about creation.
Yes.
Let's talk about Adam
yes.
and Eve. Let's talk about in the beginning God
yes.
and basically build the foundation for
yes.
them to even have a clue where you're coming from.
Oh, without a doubt. I just had a terrible circumstance this last fall and somebody came to one of our meetings and he had lifted his hand saying he wasn't sure if he knew Christ. And so I began to talk to him after the service. And then somewhere in there, he basically looked at me and he said, now let me tell you something. I'm not just going to pray some prayer. I said, well, what did you mean by that?
Right.
He said, well, 2 weeks ago, and he opens up his Bible, and there's his name and the church he was at and the time and words, I got saved. And he pointed at this, and he says, this isn't true. This is what the people at this church made me do. And he said, I don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Oh, my.
He said, that's really why I raised my hand. I wanted somebody to answer that question. They made me pray some prayer, stand up in front of the church, and tell everyone I got saved. He says, I'm not saved. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I think what happened is some of us are still stuck in 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Where we're living in a Christ-haunted culture, so that our presentations were merely addressing the will, calling people to repentance, which we must do.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they don't understand sin, what are they repenting from?
You have to address the mind first.
If they do not know
the facts.
Who Jesus Christ is, who are they repenting toward?
Right, right.
And so I just feel that coupled with the biblical literacy and now the deluge of information.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is this is a very skeptical age.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course we are, because we hear of every bad thing that happens in every place of the world.
Exactly.
And then coupled with really the whole thought process of postmodernism. You see, modernity would say, is it true? Because they were operating on absolutes.
Right.
So tell me what's true, and then I'll live life accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the postmodern has gotten rid of that mantra, they've replaced it with a mantra of, is it real? And I think that's a great question to ask Christians. Because how many hypocrites have we heard about in the media?
Oh, for sure.
And so to have a neighbor who's a real Christian,
yeah,
who just loves and cares, and all of a sudden when this postmodern is realizing that all his worldview is doing is actually resulting in more of a bankruptcy of soul, and he looks next door and he sees a Christian that's going through stage 4 cancer, has children that are struggling, financial pressure— and yet they still see this neighbor with joy,
right,
and peace and rest. And one day where we used to go and knock on their door, they're knocking on our door.
Exactly.
And they're saying, what do you have that I don't have? And what a great time to showcase the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is there about my life that would want people to know more about the Lord?
That's right. I agree.
And so we've run out of time again. But what an awesome thought for us to finish this broadcast with. My friend, what is there about your life that would cause your neighbor to knock on your door and begin to ask you questions? If there is nothing, then that's where you need to begin. That's where changes need to be taking place. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.